be moving back in the same direction, southwest.
Переделкино.
He tugged pensively at his mustache.
Did you call, Comrade Major Commissar?
The young blonde woman nervously stuck her head around the door. In the past few days, life had become unbearably tense in the offices of Internal Security Moscow. There were too many messages and too many senior officers coming and going. And there was whispered gossip about her boss, about Grigori.
Nothing, Alisa, nothing. Thank you for responding so quickly.
She nodded her head and withdrew, finding she was trembling with nerves. A friend of hers shared an apartment with a man whose sister worked in the offices of pensions and internal debts. Anya Zemyanin hadn't been seen for 3 days, and there were stories of a closed car and a suspicious bundle in a black plastic body bag being toted away from a certain door at 5 in the morning. That had been the day that Grigori had been in such a good mood, though he jerked away from Elisa's fingers when she had tried to point out some small marks on his face near the hairline, dark brown spots that indicated he'd been splashed with some sticky liquid. Behind her, the sec officer was in the best of spirits. Gradually, the pieces of the jigsaw were beginning to come together. 3 spies, one who must be wounded or sick, the robbery of tools and the flag. Proof, if ever any was needed, that they were Americans. Now the woman had fled the ville.
Alone.
Which meant that the one-eyed man and his other companion were still around. Close to the museum was Emyanin's personal guess, waiting for a chance to escape, or waiting for other American spies to join them. Extra patrols had been posted on all roads to the southwest to watch for strangers coming out of or into the area. He unlocked his desk drawer and took out the dog-eared copy of The English Tongue for the benefit of the Russian gentleman abroad.
Having heard so much about you from mutual friends, it will be a great pleasure for me to finally make your acquaintance.
Zemyanin nodded to himself, pleased with what he had just learned. He put the book carefully back in the desk drawer and locked it. For many weeks, he'd worked hard at trying to master the complexities of the American tongue. Soon, very soon, he hoped to have the chance to practice what he had learned. Ryan was awakened by a soft whispering sound. Someone was easing open the broken door at the side of the warehouse where he and Rick were hiding. He lay in the midnight darkness with his finger on the trigger of the Sig Sauer and waited. There were 2 intruders. One was trying to press himself through the narrow gap at the side of the door. The rudimentary gas lighting outside cast enough of a golden glow for Ryan to see the shadow. A man, small built, with the darting reflection off the middle of a handgun. The other man was already somewhere inside the concrete vault. Whoever he was good. Ryan had checked out the building 12 times and had thought that all of the windows were secure. Now he knew that one of them wasn't. The intruder near the door was short, lightly built, and had long blonde hair. Ryan still couldn't precisely locate the other man. It was difficult to concentrate, with Rick breathing heavily and moving restlessly in his sleep. If there were only 2 of them, Ryan thought he should be able to take them out. But if they were part of a larger gang, then he figured it might be time to abandon the Freezy and make his own getaway. Also, if there were merely a couple of local killers trying their chances, it would be dangerous to use the powerful blaster. Reluctantly, Ryan holstered the pistol and drew the long panga from its soft leather sheath on his hip. Hand-to-hand fighting in almost total darkness wasn't among Ryan's favorite occupations. He wished that Jack was with him. The white-haired teenager was the best at close-contact butchery that Ryan had ever seen. It crossed Ryan's mind that the 2 men who had crept in on him in the small hours of the morning could possibly be JB and Jack. The one he'd glimpsed near the door was the right kind of height, as well as having light hair. Ryan edged away from the pile of rags that he'd been using for a bed. He'd calculated that Christie's best speed through hostile country wouldn't have been good enough for anyone to have returned from the dacha, so logically it wasn't Jack and JB. The wooden haft of the panga was warming in his fingers. Ryan held the long blade down at his side to try to avoid the steel catching and reflecting the streetlight. He deliberately slowed his breathing and controlled his heartbeat, moving only with infinite patience. The 2 men didn't seem in any hurry to get to him, and Ryan wasn't in any great hurry to get to them. Though he had a nagging doubt that Jack and JB might have crept in and were checking the place out, Ryan was 95% sure it wasn't them. The armorer had known him long enough not to play triple stoop by creeping up on him in the dark. Ryan heard a shuffle of feet toward the rear of the building, where there had been rows of empty closets and shelves. The floor was sprinkled with a number of rusted nails and screws. Patience never killed anyone, the trader used to say. And the converse was equally true. The man who rushed blind into a fight often finished looking up at the sky. So Ryan waited. Ryan listened, hoping that Rick wouldn't wake up and call out for him. The light in the part of the room where they'd been sleeping wasn't good enough to reveal how many lay there. As long as the two men didn't know that Ryan was up and ready, the advantage of surprise rested with him. The other danger in Rick's mumbling and restlessness was that it could drown out the sound of someone moving in the darkness. Ryan wished that his fighting sense of hearing was better. If Christy had been there, she'd have pinned down the intruders like a ruby laser. He waited. There. The nerves of one of the men had finally given way, and he made his move, coming up out of a crouch against the rear wall, holding what looked like a sawed-off 10-gauge at his hip. The guy was silhouetted for a half second against the yellow light of the front window. That was all Ryan needed. He covered the distance between them in 18 short steps, balanced on the balls of his feet, moving like a graveyard wraith. He took the intruder from behind, when he was still several yards from the sleeping man. It wasn't like trying to take out a sentry without any alarm being raised. In a quiet room, there was absolutely no possibility of killing the one intruder without the other man hearing the death. The best bet was to take him down fast and move away into the deeper shadows. When Ryan had obtained the Panga from a 285-pound muty woman who didn't need it anymore, the weapon had a round, blunt end to it. He'd honed it down so that both sides of the blade were sharp, and it tapered to a strong needle point. It could be used equally well for either cutting or thrusting work. The blow was a straight thrust from behind, delivered with all of his strength. The tip of the heavy panga penetrated the man's flesh, slicing it open like a razor through silk. Ryan felt hot blood spurt over his right hand and wrist, and felt the shocked jerk of the body. The blade was 18 inches long, and the point erupted a handbreadth out of the doomed man's chest, tearing through his heart on the way. Blood pattered onto the stone floor. By the time the body lay still, Ryan was on the far side of the building, kneeling against the wall with the window. He guessed he wasn't far from where the lightly built blonde was lurking. It would have been inhuman if the second intruder hadn't been pushed into movement by the sound of the scuffle and the unmistakable noise of sudden, violent death.
A possessed?
Apparently the man was asking his now dead companion if there was danger. It was sufficient for Ryan to locate his second target, who was more or less where he'd imagined, just to the right of the partly open door, already starting to move around the outside of the room. Now, eye fully accustomed to the scant light, Ryan could make out the flicker of movement. Like a python sliding noiselessly from its den, Ryan went after the short figure, blood-slicked blade probing the air ahead of him.
What the fuck was that? Ryan? Ryan, are you there?
Rick's voice, deafening in the silence, nearly put Ryan off his attack. Ginsburg blundered to his feet, trailing lengths of the torn cloth that he'd been using as a blanket. In the ghastly yellow light, he looked like some wild-eyed corpse dragged from its tomb, still bound with the ragged cerecloths.
Ryan, where... Oh, Christ!
He'd fallen over the outstretched hand of the corpse, tripping and landing face down in the spreading lake of warm blood.